from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I don't know how much, but I think he's going to be a contributor. And I'm telling you, Bethune, the linebacker, can play. He can play. I like him a lot. And this has been a really, really, really good draft. But how do you offset a quarterback making $60 million a year? You get a bunch of cheap contract rookies who can contribute and play. And they've done that this year.
No doubt. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Also a reminder to join us Wednesday, September 4th. That's next Wednesday at Fremont Bank in Fremont for the Red and Gold Summit. We're going to be talking about a lot of this in all probability, because Brandon Ayuk and the Niners extension, negotiation, whatever you want to call it, does not appear to be anywhere close to finished. Wilton Dibb's going to kick things off from 2 to 4, and then the rest of the hosts, Shasky, Bonte, Steiny, Guru, will be there from 4 to 6 to talk about the biggest storyline surrounding the 49ers at the start of the 2024 season. You can come watch as well. Space is limited. First come, first serve. All right, let's go to Washington. Talk to Rob. Rob, what's going on? You're on the roast. How are you?
Oh, good. How are you guys doing?
Good, man.
I'm doing great. It's Labor Day weekend. You know, it's this Brandon Ayuk Trent thing is driving everyone crazy.
Yeah, I just, I don't know about you guys, but I get an odd feeling with the whole BA thing compared to really any other contract that we've done in the last off seasons with our premier players. I get a strange vibe from him, and maybe it's just him using his leverage. And I honestly just don't think he wants to be here anymore, right? Unless it's like top of the line money, like Jefferson money, then he's maybe willing to suck it up. So like, I don't know if there's a Shanahan riff there or a Lynch riff or something like that, but one thing that was kind of surprising was early in when he wanted a trade, you heard a little bit of rumors kind of about Davante Adams, and I just wanted to know, have you guys heard anything, or is where did that kind
it's
of story
all speculation
go?
It's all speculation.
Because if we could, you know, essentially get a player of that caliber, and yeah, I mean, he's not in his prime, and BA is in his prime, so that's what's awesome. But, I mean, if it's not going to go anywhere, it's not going to go anywhere. So what are you just going to, you know, have a holdout through the whole season and rely on your rookies that one of them can't even get on a, you know, a red jersey? I don't know about how convincing would that be to Trent Williams to bring him back. Oh, yeah, let's go make another run at it, and oh, by the way, our top wide receiver is gone.
Well, Trent just wants to bag himself.
Yeah, but the other part about
Ayuk, a suitcase of money.
And look, I know we're all focused on this season, and it's supposed to be this year, but the reason why the Ayuk extension is important, and eventually I do think they get it done at one point or the other, is because Ayuk is supposed to be your wide receiver one of the future. I mean, he's supposed to be the guy that you pair with Brock Purdy for now and later.
Yeah.
He's 26 years old, and ideally he's entering his prime. He hasn't already peaked. So that's another reason why if you're on the Aiyuk side, you probably are standing pat, because you know that the Niners maybe don't need you as much as you need them, but they, it's not as if they don't need you. And especially if they want to compete this year, I do think they need Brandon Aiyuk.
I do too. And that's why any, let's trade Brandon here, use the capital and something else and go get player, you know, Y from that team, Devontae in this case. It sounds good. It's really difficult. It's really difficult to pull that off. I think
Devontae would like that.
Yeah, but would the Raiders do that?
No. Yeah, I don't think so.
Like, right? So, like, I mean, it sounds good. That's why the Cleveland thing is fascinating, because you like Amari. This guy likes, you know, Brandon Aiyuk. I think they're very comparable. I think they're very close. I think it's about as close to an offset as you can get. Why Cleveland would value him that way and pay him all that money and not Amari is interesting to me, considering they have Amari in the building. If you can get the capital and Amari, I'd probably do that deal.
I would too. And that's why, look, the other question that was sort of raised yesterday was about, are the 49ers cheap, essentially? You know, are they cheap for not meeting Aiyuk's demands or coming up on, I don't know, maybe an extra million or $2 guaranteed money, whatever it is. It doesn't, I just think people are at the point where, like, just get it done, right? Just, okay. Just get it done. Just give him whatever he wants.
The Niners
give Trent
cheap.
Whatever he wants.
The Niners, are the Niners cheap? Like, in the same market, I'm watching the Oakland A's go
be
play
okay?
in a minor league.
You going, like, to be all right?
No, because it's like the Niners are cheap. Look, at one point when they took over, the Yorks and the DeBartolos, Dr. John York, there was this realistic label of being cheap. They had these belt buckles that they would give everybody every year when they won the NFC West, right? Back in the day, they'd give out these buckles and everyone would get them. Like, they didn't pay for those. They didn't have the money. They didn't. They were cheap at one point. They didn't have the revenue that they have now, okay? And they spent money, but they never spent top dollar, and it would pick and choose in free agency. And I could pick apart lots of things that they did as an organization, dragging their feet on the Michael Crabtree guaranteed money, which where he held out for five games of the regular season. They were cheap at that point. Since they've moved into Levi's, you have to give them the benefit of the doubt. They have spent top dollar, guaranteed money, putting it in escrow at how many positions? Like, just look at the team. Look at their free agency. Like, they have spent money. I am here for the cheap conversations when I think a team is being cheap. I don't believe, and I have been one of the biggest critics of the Yorks as a whole. But on that, I'm sorry. I don't follow.
Yeah, at the time, Kittle, Warner, Williams,
Jimmy G,
McCaffrey, now
Quan Alexander in free agency, Pierre Garçon,
Nick Bosa.
Juszczyk,
I'm just counting the five players Hargrave. That have reset the market their position.
Yeah,
well, I guess six. Yeah, if you want to include Juice,
right? Like, I mean, you can go right down the list. You know, and so at one point they had the most expensive quarterback room in the league.
That's right.
Okay,
yes,
at one
did.
Point. So I you know,
no. The only reason I bring it up is because, again, the question was asked if, you know, if you can't come to terms with Aiyuk, or I think the question was more so pointed at Trent.
Yes.
If you can't find a way to get Trent under lock and key or give him what he wants, can you say that you are spending what you need to spend to get a Super Bowl?
You know what, though? If they can't work out something with Trent, then yeah, I will. We'll then revisit that conversation, and I'm willing to have it.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
No, I agree, because the only thing at this point that can happen is Trent Williams not be there
100%
for the majority of the season.
If signing Trent Williams means I have zero shot at signing Brandon Aiyuk, then so be it. I think that's the pecking order, and it sucks, but again, you can't afford everyone.
No, and that's unfortunately what we're looking at, which is a place called reality. Let's go up to Sacramento, talk to one of our friends, TC. TC, you're on with Evan and Chassie. How
hey,
are you?
Hey, TC.
Yeah, sir. What's up, Joe? What's up, Evan, man? Top of the morning.
Yo.
Yo, listen. Hey, so on this note, Joe knows kind of where I'm coming from on this one, Evan. So I'm with BA on this situation, man. I'm a Niner fan. Like, so what I'm saying from that point is it's not about him being greedy or Trent being greedy. It's about just like, hey, bro, pay me. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've been through the mud before. I don't know if we're going to get it. You know what I mean? And it's hard feelings. Like, let's not be crazy. It's hard feelings between B.A. That's not even a question. You should already know that. It's hard feelings between B.A. and Kyle. You get me? So, but at the same time, he stood pat. He hasn't even been a diva up to this point. And honestly, I don't even think he's being a diva. He's just like, bro, give me my bag. Or if I can't get my bag, bro, then I'm out of here. I done been to the mountaintop with you guys. It's not like we haven't been to Super Bowls. I don't even know if we're going to win it with this dude. You get me? So if we're going to be here, let's take a shot, but at the same time, pay me. That's where everybody coming to. That's like life. You get me? I'm not going to raise a risk. I'm not going to cause. I'm going to be a team player. I've been a team player. You asked me to do everything for you, bro, and I've done it. Now when it's time to get my bag, give me my bag. Everybody calls a rip. Even Devo calls a rip. We don't want to talk about nobody. All right, brother.
But I guess,
CC.
The part that, like, I understand all that, but you also have a budget. Right. So like, I've done a lot. We've been fortunate enough. My wife and I, we've done multiple remodels. Right. And like, we did them in phases, though.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I couldn't afford to just gut my entire. I didn't have the money to just gut the whole house all at once. We were like, all right, I'm budgeting for the bathroom. And then we're budgeting for the kitchen. And this is over many years. OK, we've owned the house for 15 years. Mm-hmm. Right. You can't just buy things you can't afford. You can't budget for marble walls in the bathroom that cost 50 grand when your budget for the bathroom is 25 grand, right? Just hypothetically, I'm just throwing numbers out there, right? And so, like, right now, the Niners have a budget, and then if the player is requesting more than what they have in their budget, you can't just give everyone what they want. Like, that's how they got in this situation, because they overpaid someone like Javon Hargrave. Part of this whole BA thing, I think, would have been resolved had they not overpaid for Javon Hargrave. Had Javon Kinlaw been better, you know what I mean? And you wouldn't have to overpay for Javon Hargrave, right? Like, there's this whole, you know, budget thing that people need to understand. I think it's real. And I'm not saying that you can't push things down, but you can't put everything on the credit card forever, because everyone says that, oh, just renegotiate. Oh, just kick the can down the road. At some point, the bill that's on your Chase debit card, on your credit card or whatever, comes due and you have to pay it. And guess what? With the Purdy contract, the bill is going to be due. Big time. And the interest rate is through the roof.
It is. And I don't want to make it seem like, okay, the Hargrave contract is the reason why they can't have BA. No. Because when it happened, Lynch was asked about it, and that he basically explained, like, this doesn't prevent us from making future deals and keeping future players. I just feel like they were, again, they underestimated what BA's market was, because I think they budgeted a certain amount of money for him. And then the price of the brick went up. And now they're trying to figure out, okay, what can we actually give him? And I think the demands have changed. And so the Niners have had to change. And the only, I think both Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers have been reasonable from their sides. They both feel like they're being reasonable. And it's created an unreasonable situation.
I agree.
And that's where we're at. And we're not talking about football. We're not talking about Trent. We're not talking about the Jets. We're talking about yesterday. And these guys getting just frustrated with the entire situation. And again, I do want to dig into this sound. We got one more segment coming up. If you want to get a call in, if you want to let us know how you feel about this entire ordeal, we're happy to take your call. In fact, I want to hear from you. 888-957-9570. Evan Giddings in for Bonte Hill with Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. We'll be back after this. I see you, Matt, in San Rafael. We'll get to you on the other side. We'll get to your texts. We'll get to your calls. That segment was sponsored by Lucky California.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you, and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, Joe.
This is Adam in the City, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Evan getting zipper Bonte Hill with Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. Look, I don't know, we're talking about real life things that are going on with the Niners. But is there any bigger kiss of death, Shasky, than receiving an A-plus grade in your NFL fantasy draft? Like, my season's done. The moment that you are selected to run the table and win it all, and the computer tells you you have the best roster in whatever league you're playing in, you're done. You are done.
You cannot win the entire league on draft day, but you can lose it.
That is true. And we had our 95-7 the game fantasy draft last night. And I don't know, my team was...
Online?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think it was great or whatever. Stein took three quarterbacks, so it's neither here nor there.
Wait. What?
He took Jake Moody in the fourth round.
No, he didn't.
No, I think it was the fifth.
I actually kind of like Steiny for being like team chaos.
Yeah, of course he had Kirk Cousins and then two other quarterbacks. He texted me. I don't want to put him on blast. But
did he text, we got action?
No, but he did text me in the middle of the draft and asked if this was a two-quarterback league after he'd already taken two. It just made me chortle.
Sounds like he was budgeting for four.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah, I think I don't know. Guru and Sonny, look, they'll be coming up in, you know, just about 40 minutes.
So you had the highest rated draft.
Apparently. Yeah, it was
Yahoo?
Yeah, Yahoo.
Yeah, I love the AI ChatGPT thing that they give you where they break down each person's draft. It's pretty funny.
Well, that's why I was honestly not very happy that they were so ecstatic about my draft.
Oh, your humble brag, A-minus draft? Got it.
No, A-plus.
Oh, A-plus.
Which means you're done. No, that is the kiss of death. If you get an A-plus in your draft, you cannot win fantasy. It's a law of life. I believe it.
No, I like that. I like that a lot. Have you, you're a younger guy. I always feel like the old guy here when you young guys are in here. Christmas Vacation. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. You've seen it, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry, I was going to say Christmas Vacation. Yeah, I've had a couple.
Okay, so Mr. Griswold is going to put a pool in the backyard. He budgeted for a pool, all right? A bean-shaped pool.
Shout out to
Jordan. Boy, this is so relatable. And come Christmas time, he doesn't get the bonus. And, you know, he's already started to dig out the pool, and he's knee-deep. I feel like in this analogy... The pool was Bosa last year.
Yeah.
And they budgeted for a certain amount. And that pool ended up costing way more than they thought it would. Then I also believe that they budgeted for Brandon Ayuk at some point. And that pool really went up. During COVID, I built a fence, my property up the Russian River. And
Wood prices went through the roof because of the availability. And all of a sudden, what would have been, let's say, $5,000 worth of wood turned into like $25,000 worth of wood. And anyone who bought wood during that period of time would know it. And I feel like that same thing has happened during the Brandon Ayuk thing. And so even though I budgeted for a fence, that fence ended up costing me 5x what it normally would have because the price of wood had gone up dramatically. And in this scenario, I feel like the Niners' budget is all out of whack right now. And the left tackle wanting more money probably threw him a little bit for a loop. The wide receiver market going up what it did probably threw him a little bit for a loop. And Bosa squeezing them for however much more that he did probably also threw them for a loop. And this is all knowing that you need to fix the foundation in the house because Brock Purdy's going to get $65 million. It might even be $85 million by the time we talk next year. So, like, I think the Niners have had opportunities to get a deal done, but let's also acknowledge factors outside of their control have also changed the budget.
Yeah, I think that, no, I think you're right. That's the only way you get to this point. And you brought up, like, the left tackle market. I do think it was interesting yesterday listening to both Lynch and also Shanahan. The difference with how they talk about the Williams negotiations and the difference with Ayuk. Here's what Shanahan kind of talked about with Trent.
Yeah, I'm optimistic that things will work out with Trent. I'm not sitting here knowing what day it'll be. I mean, we're getting close to playing a game, so, like, my mind is completely on preparing for a game without those guys. But, yeah, I feel when two sides want to get a deal done, usually it happens.
When two sides want to get a deal done, it happens. I think two sides with Trent want it to get done. But each day the Ayuk situation lingers, I wonder more and more if both sides really, really want it to actually happen. Like, I think in a perfect world they do, but I think the Niners are pretty damn close to saying, look, you're going to play on this fifth year or you're going to take this money that's on the table, and that's just all we have for you. I'm sorry. Like, I think the Niners, and they should. Like, it's, I want Brandon Ayuk to get paid. I want him to be a San Francisco 49er because I think that helps the team. But I also think that if the Niners are going to have any sort of closure, they got to put their foot down.
It feels like they're going to have to, but then, like, putting your foot down is, are you talking about suspension or are you talking about just fines?
Fines and basically whatever the, like, the number that it's at and whatever, I don't know, the details that need to be ironed out, whatever's on the table right now, that's the final offer. We're almost into the season. The offer cannot change from where it's at. Either you want it and you want to be a part of this team, or you play or choose to not play on your fifth year, and we figure out something at the end of next season.
So then how do you quantify the headache of all of this? Like, the headache of
it's already
you
a headache.
Being dealt with it. No, I'm saying, like, okay, him playing on the fifth-year option, reluctantly, and accruing fines, and then waiting the 6 weeks, because I believe the way it works out is he can miss up to six games, and then he could show up and then play through the rest of the year. Is that worth the squeeze? Is it worth going through as a team, knowing you're probably alienating the player, you're creating more opportunities for chaos? Not saying he's going to be a bad guy or a bad teammate. It's just, you're just inviting stuff into the locker room. Would you go that route?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would.
Yeah. I think if I was presented, like, that's the way it's going to go down, like, because you have to have that as an option.
You'd rather just
trade him? I'd probably just trade him. I would. I probably would. And I don't think that's his fault. I just think, like, I think I would eliminate that stress.
That's totally fair. I just, at this point, to me, trading him is just cashing in a penny stock.
I you're not wrong.
Like, it is you selling it at its lowest point, and I don't think you're going to get anything back that will help you this year. You might not get anything back that helps you in the future outside of a draft pick, but that's kind of where you're at. And so that's why I do feel like no matter what happens, it's kind of a lose-lose. You know, I think it's even if they get a deal done before the season starts, I think that Ayuk is going to suffer for that a little bit. I think his production is going to come down. That's going to hurt the Niners. If, obviously, this lingers into the regular season, you're without your number one wide receiver, then you're hurt as a team. It's really hard for me to see the light at the end of the tunnel for the Niners as a team. Both sides, Ayuk and the team, finding a way to just sweep this under the rug.
I feel like for fans, this is entering the Draymond Green zone.
And what I mean is like at some point, all of this just becomes like, I'm over it. There's a lot of Warrior fans that are just over the whole Draymond thing, the over the punch, over the this, over the that, the suspensions. And obviously what Brandon Ayuk is doing is so different than what Draymond's done. Like, Draymond actively did a lot of dumb, foolish things, right? He also brings a lot to the table in terms of winning, but I'm talking about the threshold for tolerance, right? Feels like a lot of fans are just, they're intolerable of hearing about this anymore.
Yeah, and I think Shanahan's at that point, too, because he was also asked yesterday if he'd consider disciplining Brandon Ayuk, which they have not done, financially speaking, to this point.
Since your doctors have said he's healthy, if he refuses to practice, would you discipline him?
I'll deal with that when that happens, if that happens.
So just to clarify, if he practices, that's not any sign that anything's close one way or the other in terms of a contract extension?
No.
Can I defend the media?
Yeah, of course.
There's a lot of, like, you guys are driving the message. You're creating the narrative. No, actually, the situation is very juicy, because I don't know if you know this, but, like, we love the tabloids in America. Like, people love to know who's dating who and who's doing what. And we love drama, period. And it's the job of the media to ask these questions when one of the most important players isn't there. And arguably, a first ballot Hall of Famer isn't there. That is their job, to ask Kyle Shanahan a question about that. If this were, like, for example, the analogy, if this were the police department, right? And the police chief walked up there, where are all your sergeants? Where are they at? Like, one of your top lieutenants is just missing in action, nowhere to be found, as you're getting ready for a big parade or something like that. Like, they would ask. Like, pick the line of work it's in. The media's job was to ask the right questions. And I thought yesterday they did a really good job asking good follow-up questions.
And 95% of the time, you're not going to get anything. You know, up until this point, up until yesterday, honestly, you know, Lynch had just kind of given you the yay or nay, I think. Oh, looks like we have a breaking news sounder. Oh, well, sorry about that.
95.7 The Game, breaking news.
Well, here's some good news for Bay Area fans.
Hear it to me.
Stephen Curry of the Golden State Warriors has signed a one-year extension worth $62 million.
One more year?
One more year, Steph.
One more year!
$62.6 million.
Can I be honest?
I believe that's the max.
No, I'll lie to you. I'm super... Thank God. Thank you, Curry. Everybody, this is sick. Come on. Thank you, Curry. Thank you, Curry. Thank you, Curry. At least there's one guy I know that wants to be here.
Well, isn't it just like teasing. Steph to just come in and save the day? Look, I mean, we've been talking about how this guy's worth this amount of money. Give so-and-so a blank check. How come they won't meet in the middle? There's someone that we know in the Bay Area that is worth every single penny, and he just got the max possible. I mean, and I'm glad it also puts to bed the whole, like, what the date was October 21st that he technically had until to sign this. And, you know, is Steph going to be around for the long term? Is, you know, is he thinking about where the team's at? And, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing again. He doesn't want to be a bottom feeder. Well, that all may still be true, but at the very least, Steph Curry is going to be here to see that through.
So now his contract lines up with Draymond's?
Yes. Well, Draymond's player option.
Oh, the player option. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's like the Farhan effect. The player option. Oh, thank you, Steph. We needed that. I needed some good news.
Yeah, I don't know if it makes me feel any better or worse about this season and what's to come for the Warriors. You know, it's not like him signing a year-long deal and, you know, in 2 years is all of a sudden going to get them a number two option and, you know, Draymond's not going to get suspended this season and Buddy Hield's going to shoot 58% from three-point range. But it does feel like, I don't know, to me, Shasky, that was a storyline that was hanging over this season.
No doubt. But look,
what does Steph want?
Yeah, but in the NBA, like, anyone could want out at any time. So, but that being said,
that's true.
When it's this player committing to this organization, you got to feel pretty good. He's a unique player in terms of how he views himself, him staying with one organization. This isn't your typical NBA player. just getting one extra year on a deal. Like this to me signifies he's here for the next couple of years.
Yeah, I don't know. If you really want me to think about it, I feel like if they were going to potentially move him at all, or if he wanted out, I don't know. I don't think he would have signed this extension, because I think it'd be easier to move him if he's not locked up through his now age 38 season.
Well, and he would have the leverage to go where he wanted to go. Like, hey, I'm not getting an extension anywhere that I don't want to go. And plus, there's, because of his 10 years in the league, I believe he has certain rights and whatnot. So, yeah, this is a great thing. This is not a bad thing.
No, it's great news.
If he's only making $62 million, if I told you he was making $120 million, would anyone, like today, would anyone scoff at that? $120 million 1 year.
Well, give it 30 minutes. I think there might be somebody that can poke a hole in it, but sorry, that was a shot.
Nobody cares what Steph makes. They're like, yeah, that's whatever he wants, whatever you want, Steph.
No, but I do think it is fair to wonder where he's going to be at. I know the only thing I really care about is him being in a Golden State Warriors uniform.
Yes.
But I wonder where the state of the team is going to be in two seasons when he does make $62.6 million.
Look, as a long-suffering Bay Area sports fan here, I didn't care that Barry Bonds didn't win the last couple of years. Did I want him? Of course I did. Okay, but he was our guy, even though he played for Pittsburgh prior. Having him finish his career with the team, that means the most.
Well, actually, the one thing, to put it in a positive perspective, what this does indicate to me and might help the Warriors do is actually lure a second star.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
Because if you want to bring in another big boy,
there
has to be, you have to know you're playing with Curry. And you have to know that Curry's going to be there beyond next season, including
this
one.
That's actually a really good point.
So the fact that he does lock this in means whoever they're trying to court, I don't know if it's, you know, a big name player.
Just start rattling them. I want to hear them. I'm tired of Lowry Markkanen. Yeah. Give it to me. Give me some names.
If you're trying to, you know, in a year, Giannis might be pissed off.
We're doing that again.
Embiid is a little injury prone.
I'm good off that.
Who else did he play with Team USA? Booker is still in his prime.
Actually, I have long
Durant.
Since I've thought that the
LeBron.
LeBron. I've been wanting LeBron. Yeah. The seed was planted with Booker when Kerr was like, you know, the unsung hero of this entire Olympic team was Devin Booker. Like, they were courting Book from afar. That's already started.
Well, and clearly everybody loved playing with Curry. He was unbelievable in the Olympics.
Michelle thinks he's very good looking. Book.
I think a lot of women do.
Yeah, no, I know, but like in particular, you know, she goes, oh, the cute guy.
The cute guy.
Yeah.
Oh, she wasn't talking about, no, I won't say it.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. I am in no position to judge anyone else's looks.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I do think, again, I think it would make it easier for the Warriors to entice another player to come to Golden State to know that they're going to be there with Curry for at least a couple seasons.
So here's the next one. If they do it during the season before October or whatever the date is, the 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, mm-hmm. Kuminga.
Yeah. Oh, well, you're right. Now all eyes sort of shift to him.
You want to talk about sticker shock.
Yeah.
If I had the 240 whatever he wants extension in front of me, like with Kuminga, oh my God. I couldn't do it. I had to let him play the year out.
I would not do it. And again, what we're talking about just moments ago from Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, Golden State Warriors star Steph Curry has agreed on a one-year $62.6 million extension that'll keep him under contract through the 2026-2027 season. So that is great news. In regards to Kuminga, because that's the next, you're right, that is the next domino at this point. I would not extend him this offseason.
No, make him play it out. You learn your lesson from the Jordan Poole thing. Just let him play it out.
Well, and I mean, unless you can find a reasonable price, but I think that Kuminga sees himself as a $200 million player.
Oh, my God.
Which is crazy to say, but I think he does.
God. Well, I see myself driving a Ferrari, you know, but doesn't mean it's actually happening.
No, but if you saw somebody that you believe you're in the same, I don't want to compare careers, but, you know, like if you see Franz Wagner get maxed out.
Franz Wagner's fine. I think all Emmanuel quickly making 240, you know, Franz Wagner making 240. It's all like, and I get it. It's the market. I trust
Brennan Ayuk making 120.
I mean, it's just, it's insane money. It is.
It's
like the NBA money is insane. We could say it. It's okay. Like, I'm not saying that, like, push came to shove, I wouldn't pay. But, like, $250 million for a guy, Emmanuel Quickley, who could walk into the room, say, I'm Emmanuel Quickley, and all of us would be like, yeah, I still don't know who you are.
I mean, yeah, especially in Toronto.
Carter, tell me I'm wrong.
Especially
tell
in Toronto.
Me I'm wrong.
I get your sentiment there.
Like, and I'm not trying to dog the guy, but, like, give me a break.
You look at him, you're like, that guy makes $45 million.
The only way you know is because he's like 6'8". It's the only way you know, like, he's got to be a basketball player.
Yeah, Quickley is a guard. He's tall, but he's not that tall.
You've heard my story about us in Boston, right?
You and Emmanuel Quickley?
No, me and Bonte.
Okay.
So this is great. It's Darrell Wright, who's humongous.
Yeah.
It's me and it's Bonte, who's humongous. And it's late at night in Boston. We fly in on like a red eye or whatever. This is during the finals. And we get in this SUV Uber, right? And we get in and the guy's peppering the guys. I'm in the all the way back and he's peppering Bonte and Darrell. And they're staying at a different hotel for NBC than I am. Okay. And anyway, the guy's like, oh, the NBA. And then Darrell's like, yeah, I used to play in the league and blah, blah, blah. And they're just kind of small talking, right? They get out of the cab and I got to go another four or five blocks. So the guy immediately turns around. And he goes, so you're their agent? And I go, what? And he goes, yeah, those are two NBA players, right? And you're their agent. I go, Bonte's not an NBA player. He's like the least athletic of the three in the car. What are we talking about?
I didn't want to say it. But.
And then I go, you're making assumptions because I'm the short white guy that I happen to be the guy dealing with the money? Like, no.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
It was ridiculous. It was also probably more accurate because I would have thought the same exact thing.
Yeah, you're Ryan Williams. You know, you're walking around with Brandon Ayuk, and they're assuming you're the agent.
Why couldn't I be Pritchard off the bench of the Celtics? Like,
they probably think he's an agent too until he started dribbling a basketball.
That's true. That's true.
Oh,
but I've never felt more like, no, I'm not their agent. I wish I was.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, depending on the line of work, you could do all right for yourself, especially like if you're Deshaun Watson's agent.
Or Brandon Ayuk's agent.
Well, that remains to be seen. This from the 626 Xfinity Mobile text line. Dub Nation salutes Lakeham and management for locking up the GOAT
Thank
Curry
God.
To his well-deserved bag. Let me throw this at you, Shasky. $62.6 million for Curry. Is that what Brock Purdy's going to make?
Oh, that's a good question.
Is Brock Purdy
doing AAV? We're just going to AAV.
Yeah.
Okay.
A $62.6 million player.
You know, I got nothing of substance.
It's crazy to think about.
No, I got nothing of substance. Like, I don't have, like, sources or anything. I just got this intuition. Purdy's going to take, like, $51 million. And, like, you know, Dak will take, like, $70 or whatever. And he's going to come in as the conquering hero.
Just to calm the seas.
Like, it's still a godly amount of money. But Again, this is all intuition. It's just gut feeling. Watch Purdy take a little less than what everyone thinks he's going to get. And it's going to be the smartest move. Like, every $5 million he shaves is $5 million for a right guard.
It's also a few million less than another player has the right to take. Like, I think that Belichick was discussing this aspect, and I think it applies to Brady. One reason why Belichick could probably tell New England Patriots players to F off, like, we're not paying you what you want to be paid, and we're not going to do this whole holdout, hold-in thing, is because his quarterback, who at certain times may not have been the best quarterback in the league, but always set the precedent by taking less. So the only way that I see, to your point, this sort of steering back in the direction of the Niners quote-unquote winning deals are not being taken for all they're worth is if the quarterback of the team takes less. And I think they would like for him to do that. Purdy would be incentivized personally because then he could have more players around mm-hmm. him. But if you're in the Niners, I think you are praying that Brock Purdy does not walk in and ask for what Steph Curry just got. You are praying that he does not want $60 million because I think you might have to give it to him.
Well, you probably will have to end up giving it to him. I mean, look, again, I'm spitballing here. But if I'm doing the Purdy extension, I mean, knowing what we know now with the last two off seasons, get that sucker done in March. Like, if day one of the new calendar year is, what is it, March 4th, 5th? I mean, I want that thing done the second we announce the new calendar year for the NFL. Don't you?
Well, yes, but this is the other issue with how the last two off seasons have gone. If Purdy is a smart guy, and I believe he is, and if his agent is a smart person, he's just going to say, okay, so you have already told everyone that you expect our quarterback to reset the market. Nick Bosa reset the market. He waited until 2 days before the season. Trent Williams, in all likelihood, will, reset or come close to resetting the market. He's waiting the entire offseason. Why wouldn't I just tell my client to wait the entire offseason, and then you'll eventually pay him whatever he wants?
I understand that. I look at Purdy, I'm just going off the dude. And, the guy's doing commercials for corn, for crying out loud. Okay? Not John Deere. Not like the machines that cut corn. Corn, literally, like a vegetable, for crying out loud. Like, this guy is as Midwest Americano as they come. Like,
I think he's from Arizona, right?
I know, but I'm saying his girlfriend's from Iowa or whatever the hell it is, or excuse me, his wife. I don't know, man. I think he's going to be a little different. I don't see him going through this the same way.
No, I hope not, but I also think that's the Niners' hope, and I do think that that's what they're trying to stop. I mean, I think they're trying to stop players from just asking for anything and then eventually getting everything.
Did you hear Devontae Smith's answer when they asked him why he took the amount of money that he took and when he could have gotten more?
No.
So they were asking him, Philadelphia media, and it was the day he got basically $75 million guaranteed, essentially, mm-hmm. over 3 years. And he said, I thought it was just such a profound, and again, everyone views things differently. What you will do for money, maybe you, Evan, might travel all across the country chasing a particular job or a location or a type of home or a family environment or a job title or an amount of money. That doesn't mean that I'm going to do that. But Devontae's perspective rang true to me, and he was like, man, I've been thinking about playing in the NFL my entire life, and I came up from a rough upbringing. If I can't, because you're talking about generational wealth, you left a little on the table. It's like, if I can't make it work with $75 million on this deal and not think that I'm not going to bet on myself and try to have another, renegotiation or extension down the line, I got my priorities messed up. And I just thought it was such a refreshing thing to hear from someone. And do I believe him 100%? I don't know. But it was the right thing to say. And it felt genuine. And I was like, that's a guy that kind of gets it.
I think so. But it's also... And
it's
I think
easy to say when you have a three-year, $75 million deal.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to say. And when the money actually comes down the line and you realize what you could be making as opposed to what you are making, I do think there's just that innate calibration of, well, damn, I'm leaving that much on the table. Because... And the reason why I think the Niners are hoping this is, so I think it was a couple of years ago when T.J. Watt got paid, and Ben Roethlisberger, not necessarily the greatest guy, but was asked about the contract negotiation, and he basically said, pay T.J. Watt everything. And the reason why I took a pay cut is so the Pittsburgh Steelers could pay a player like T.J. Watt.
But how many contracts had he had made up until that point?
Probably a few.
Yeah. So like that's
it wasn't his first big deal.
He was at a different point in his life.
Yeah. And right? he realized that, I'm 36 years old. I'm Big Ben. I'm actually big and old Ben. And I kind of need some help around me.
And I see, to me, that matters. Like when I was 22... who knows what I would have done for a certain amount of money, right? At 42, I've told you this and you think I'm crazy. I'm like, there's a QOL factor on everything I do. Is it worth my time? Is it going to improve my quality of life? Case in point, I played 2 softball games last night. Why? Improve my quality of life. Woke up this morning, worked out. Why? To improve my quality of life. In my 20s, your boy is sleeping in and he's staying at the bar all night.
Yeah, I'm getting after it.
Exactly. I'm at a different point in my life. So, I think it's easy for Big Ben to say that. It's harder when you've been making 800 grand a year like Purdy has the last couple of years and have that same prerogative.
True, but I also imagine that Purdy cannot fathom the kind of pay increase that he's going to get.
How can you?
You can't. They're like, you can't fathom a pay increase of double whatever you're making. Nevertheless, 50.
It's just the amount of money to say it's monopoly money is like we're underrating monopoly money here. It's like landing on Park Place over and over and over and over and over again. It's unreal.
Brock Purdy has roommates.
I know. I think one of them made the team because he's his roommate.
Probably.
I'm tongue in cheek on that.
No, I know. Let's get out to San Rafael. Bring on Matt here on the roast. Wants to talk about the 49ers situation. What's up, Matt? How are you, man?
I'm well. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Let's start off. I love Ayuk as a player, and this is really unfortunate. I see him and Williams as being different in two significant ways. One is, I don't think they have a chance of winning the Super Bowl or going to the Super Bowl without Williams. I just, like, their offensive line is bottom five in the league without him. And he makes everyone better as well as being the best left tackle in the game. Ayuk is a very good player. He's had one year where he played really well. He blocks incredibly. Again, I love him as a player. But he is a piece in a system that has four or five very good players. He'll never be the alpha. He'll never be Jefferson or Lamb. That's just not the way this offense is designed. The second thing is that I think they're waiting, the Niners are waiting to work out Williams until they're sure there's no chance of paying Ayuk.
Interesting.
And I think, unfortunately, that means it's going to take a little bit of time because they're going to work this to the end. The last thing I'll say about Ayuk is I'm sort of disappointed because it feels, and nobody really knows what's happened. I read, like you guys do, everything and try to figure out what in the hell is really going on. But it seems like they would try to move to him even though they didn't want to, and then the bar would shift. It seemed like the Jefferson deal came at the worst possible time, and then the Lamb deal came at the worst possible time, because it seemed like when those happened, Ayuk, for whatever reason, recalibrated and said, no, I want this. And Joe, the example you used was great. I talked to a friend and said, it's like your kid saying, I want this kind of ice cream. And you're like, no, you can have that kind of ice cream. And then finally you say, you know what? I'll get you this ice cream. And your kid says, well, actually, I want this better ice cream now. And then when you get to that, he says, no, I want cookies too. And it's like, well, wait a minute. I gave you what you asked for, and now you want more. And there comes a point in time in reality where you say, I'm just not going to do this anymore. And when you're talking about a team where, you know, I read Kawakami wrote something that said it's like $10 million, and that's not a lot of money. Well, $10 million is like 10 roster-filling players that you need to play the game.
Absolutely.
So it's not like this is just, oh, just give them the money. There's a reality that comes into play here. Because while the cap is manipulable, it still exists. And
yeah, $10 million is essentially what your two rookie linebackers and Dre Greenlaw are making this year. You tell me, like, the last couple years, has that $10 million of Dre Greenlaw and a couple rookie linebackers, has that been valuable?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. And so, like, I really do believe that, like, this has got, you know, remodel written all over it. And the budget stuff, like, there's been times where we took out a bunch of money to do the kitchen. And it was like, all right, we'll save this money over here to do the bathroom. And when we got through the kitchen, it was like, yeah, I barely have anything left for the bathroom. We're going to have to hold off on that. And I think there is some truth to, let's figure out the Trent Williams things first to see how much we have left over for Brandon Ayuk. And there might not be anything left. I do think there's truth to that.
Well, Uncle Charlie in Richmond believes Niners should just pay both of them. What's going on, Unc? How you doing? You're on the roast.
Hey, man. How you doing, man? We
awesome.
Know it's a business, but I'll tell you this, man. They got a TV revenue coming up. So the money's there. So just like you just said about Purdy getting paid next year, they're going to have the money for that. So 49ers got to stop being stingy. Go on and pay them, man, and give them the money, man, because – like I said, we need both of them here because you got Kansas City, Dallas, back-to-back games. And for us to win this season and then go into the next season for Levi Stadium, we need everybody accountable, and it's going to pay them. You got the money. Don't be stingy. It's going to pay the money. You got the money. That's all I got to say.
Thanks, Doc. Oh, boy. That was Carter. That was Carter. Did not determine your call was good enough. You need to contact Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain at flowingwater.net. Hey, that wasn't on me. Wasn't on me. I'm sitting in for Bonte, but not going to do that. What I am going to do, though, Shasky, is throw to our guy Carter for our Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
All right, it's time for the Xfinity Fast Five, where we give our final thoughts on the show. Brought to you by the Next Generation 10G Network. Only from Xfinity. The future starts now.
You know, last night I was on the diamond, and I was playing at Jackson Park. They're going to renovate Jackson Park. And I played probably hundreds of games there as a kid growing up playing ball. And then with my dad, softball and whatnot. And last night on our team, you know, I'm playing with kids that I coached who are now young men, playing against a bunch of kids that I coached who all played in college and are excellent players, the Williamsons, for example, playing with one of my good friends, Kevin Berry, and he's got his son in the outfield, and it reminded me and my dad. Lou's out there with his son-in-law who made a diving catch out in the outfield. And I say this to all the athletes that are out there, young, old, whatever. Play ball until they rip the jersey off you. All right? That's how I believe. I am a big believer in going out there, doing what you love, play ball until your last possible breath. My dad did that. I'm going to do that. My grandfather's still playing golf. He's 90 years old. He's struggling to walk. It's just, if it makes you happy to go out there and play a little ball, do whatever you got to do during the week to make the missus or whoever your significant other is happy. You know, balance your life out, all right? Be a good dad and all that stuff. But play till they rip the jersey off you. Seek that happiness. It's healthy to exercise, and you'll feel better about yourself. Love you, Dad.
That's fantastic, Shasky. And, you know, a little bit of a lighter note. I kind of teased this earlier in the show, but if I just have a final thought, try to do well in your NFL fantasy draft. Don't try to do that well. The moment you do too well, the moment that the computer and AI spits out an A-plus at you, you're done. It's a kiss of death. My season I already feel like is over. The moment they told me I'm going 13-1, I'm going to run the table in our 95-7 game fantasy league, I don't see it because I don't really think my team is that good. I hope they overachieve this season. Similar to what the Niners are looking at right now. I hope they find a way to bring home the bowl, but I'm just not seeing it because we got a lot of distractions in the locker room. Guys on my team want contracts. My quarterback doesn't have any receivers
around
him. Who is
your quarterback?
Josh Allen.
I like it.
I do like him, but I'm not sure who's going to throw the ball to. Is it Curtis Samuel? Is it Keon Coleman? I don't know who's going to throw the ball to, and I just feel like
Kincaid.
I did too well. I don't mean to toot my own horn here, but I did too well in fantasy. Do not do it.
Dude, Bonte's totally rubbing off on you. The humble brag is out of control. I did too well in my fantasy draft. Shut up.
Thank you.
I love you.
Carter, what do you got?
I got today, I want to implore people that if you're going to call in and say, please just pay them, you have to understand that the NFL has a hard salary cap. Please.
Oh boy. Wait, what do you mean? Just pay everybody.
It's true. Just go over. It doesn't matter.
Oh, what's up? What's up, Ken?
All right. Well, this whole show, we were talking about Brandon Ayuk and Lynch's situation and his reactions to all it. I just want to read you a quote real quick. It's a blessing, always a blessing to get an extension from the organization that brought you into the league. It says that they are confident in me. Like I said, they brought me into this league, taking a chance. I was 22 coming off a major injury. So it's always been love since I got here. We were just happy to get something done. That was Jalen Waddle's quote when he signed a 3-year, $84 million deal, 28.2 per. And what my point is, because I know Shasky's gonna,
you're wearing a Tyreek Hill shirt, right?
Yeah, well, that's my number. That was my first pick in last night's fantasy draft. Thank you very much. Number 5 overall. You know, he's played 15 less games, he's 600 less yards, 7 less touchdowns, but they average close to the same receptions per catch, you know, and just Ayuk has just a yard more. And my point is that, you know, Ayuk could get the same amount of money in my mind because they paid Tua. They've paid other guys. They've restructured Tyreek. Ayuk, if you want it, I think it's there.
Yeah, but they also allowed Christian Wilkins to leave in free agency. Mm-hmm. They also didn't re-sign Xavier Howard. Like, there are other ramifications regarding the roster to offset paying both wide receivers.
I agree. And that's why they let, who was it, go to the Colts. I forgot his name.
We'll get to you tomorrow. Yeah. That was our Fast Five brought to you by Xfinity. That. At home or on the go, you'll get the fastest internet to all your devices. Well, I know we did a lot of Ayuk and Lynch today, Shasky, but it was a lot of fun. I appreciate you letting me into your studio.
Look, you just be ready for tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know what it is for me on a Friday?
What?
It's a mail-it-in Friday, baby. No. And from the cabin, it's a mail-it-in Friday.
Oh, that's right. Oh, well, actually, that's going to be a special, Shasky. I know, because you're going to be hyped that you're up, Russian River is that the area?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that brand new foundation, the brand new bathroom.
No, time out. Phase one starts September 1.
September 1?
Yeah, we're redoing the downstairs.
Okay.
Going to put some bunk beds and build some rooms down there.
Are we going to get, I don't know, a little bit of a tour, a sneak peek tomorrow?
Maybe. I got to make sure my laptop works, if I'm being totally honest with you. That's going to be like 50-50. We might be iPad'd in on Zoom. I don't know. We'll figure that out.
Yeah, I can't wait. Same time, same place. Morning Rose, 6 to 10 a.m. tomorrow. Coming up next, Steny and Guru on 95.7 The Game. Big thank you to Shasky, Ken, Carter, for Evan Giddings. We'll be back tomorrow in for Bonte Hill right here on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.